141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Celtic and Rangers return to pre-season training today. Alexandro Bernabe edges closer to his Parkhead move and Rangers step up their chase of Antonio Colak. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio tonight is Hugh Keevans.
Celtic turn up for training today minus Jota. How long does this take? How long does Jota have to go on expected to sign for Celtic before he becomes another four-letter word ending in A, and that is saga? The fee was agreed in the loan contract when he came here from Portugal, from Benfica, and all that had to be done was personal terms. How long does it take?
Yeah, well, lots to get our teeth into. Whether you've got thoughts on that or anything else transfer related, give us a call, 01419511025, or you can send us a tweet at ClydeSSB. But today was the day for Celtic and Rangers, Hugh, the two teams returning to pre-season training. You see the posts on social media, the photos, the videos of the players arriving and then out training. But all you could see in the replies on both our Twitter feeds were fans replying going, "Do something, announce a signing, what's happening? Do something. We need to hear what's happening transfer-wise."
To be perfectly honest, we're still in the month of June, and there's a long while to go before the end of the transfer window. Jota is the one that's mildly interesting because he came here, he was instrumental in helping Celtic win the title. He instantly became a hero in the eyes of the fans. They really want to see him back there on a permanent deal in the coming season. But my goodness, it's dragging on. And the longer it drags on, nothing is certain until he's standing there with the Celtic scarf above his head for the benefit of the photographers.
Yeah, well, let's hear from you. 01419511025. Let's start with Jota then, since you've touched on him. Of course, isn't at pre-season training with Celtic today because obviously he hasn't signed for Celtic yet. He's been pictured everywhere over this summer, hasn't he? He looks like he's had the best summer ever. He's been in so many countries. He was pictured, I think it was at a music festival in Lisbon last night, seeing acts like, I'm sure you're very familiar with Post Malone, Hugh. Is that, that's your type of music, isn't it?
Is that a legal firm?
Yes. Okay, we'll stick with that. Yeah, so he's there enjoying himself while Celtic are at pre-season training today. The thing is, might be nothing in it, but that's maybe when fans start to ask a few questions and be like, well, you know, if there was a fee agreed initially and Cameron Carter-Vickers got over the line, then surely Celtic would have wanted him in today, reporting in for the first day of pre-season training.
Well, the fans want him dancing to Ange Postecoglou's tune, not with Mr. Malone in Portugal. You'd think that Ange Postecoglou would want everyone round about him day one. To be fair, there are other transfer deals that will have to be concluded. Maybe it's getting to the stage where you're just looking for something that isn't there, but it has been a very long time with regard to Jota and turning a loan deal into a permanent deal.
Yeah, the fact that a fee has been agreed, it's not always as simple as it looks. Sometimes people will think, you know, well, just pay the money and get him through the door, but personal terms need to be arranged at that point. There's also a case of there can be sort of squabbling between percentages of future fees, what Benfica may be owed if Celtic then sell him on again. These things still can come into it. So it could be a case of negotiations are still on the go behind the scenes. It could be a case of it's a done deal and Celtic have just agreed that he will arrive at some date. It could be a case that the deal is close to collapsing. We have no idea.
No transparency available. But it can't go on indefinitely.
Yeah, that's when the doubt starts to creep in for supporters, doesn't it?
And from Celtic's perspective, you know, if there is haggling going on and it looks like going on forever, Celtic's prerogative is to say, listen, we've had enough. We'll go and get somebody else.
I suppose maybe another layer of frustration is the fact that the Cameron Carter-Vickers deal got done so quickly and was so smoothly done, and he's been in the door for a few weeks now. He's there for pre-season training. Maybe some supporters are thinking, well, why isn't this deal just as easy?
Well, I suppose down through the ages, transfers have either been complicated or as smooth as silk. The one involving Jota does seem to be complicated.
Yeah, well, I did see that there was an interview Ange Postecoglou did today with Celtic TV. There was a quote that they tweeted out just to sort of preview the interview, and the main quote they picked was, Ange Postecoglou saying the most important thing is to bring in the right players for that to happen. We can't put timelines on things. We want to be better every year. So that seems like a case of if people do have doubts that maybe Ange Postecoglou is just sort of, you know, limiting the urgency of the people want to see transfers done. And as you say, it's still the 27th of June. Celtic aren't going to be playing a competitive game until just over a month. So there is plenty of time to get that deal or other deals done.
I remember Kyogo Furuhashi on day one of last season. He arrived in Scotland in the morning and was on the subs bench for Celtic in the evening against Hearts at Tynecastle. He didn't do too badly.
Yeah, and the fact that Celtic have already made signings as well. Cameron Carter-Vickers is through the door. Benjamin Seagrace is through the door. Alexandre Bernabe is in the country. We expect that signing to go through any day now. That will mean that there's maybe not panic there from Celtic supporters. They'll be happy that at this time they've got two in the door. There's one more that is definitely going to happen in Alexandre Bernabe, and Jota looks as if it's edging closer, but we can't be sure.
Good work has been done and been completed. Jota just has that little bit of intrigue. The whole football scene has gone quiet. People are going about their business efficiently, gradually. But Jota has that little bit of intrigue. Why hasn't it been done yet? And you've outlined all the reasons why. It might be because of the Celtic end, it might be because of the Benfica end, it might be because of the Jota end. It's just an intriguing one.
Well, let's hear from you. 01419511025. John is a Celtic fan. Up next, John, what are you making of it all?
Evening, Hugh. Evening, Andrew.
Hi. Hi, John.
Hi. I'm just saying to the producer there, I don't think, I'm not one of the guys who's panicking about Jota. Obviously, I would like to see him in. But Ange has delivered everything he's told us he's going to do. And obviously, Jota knows the way, the style of play. And I just think, I think personally, this deal will be done within the next week. I'm just hoping. Just the wind that we ink through, but I know they went in for pre-season training, but it's not a matter of urgency as far as I'm concerned.
To a large extent, it's out of Ange Postecoglou's hands. You know, it's in the hands of those who are now empowered to deal with these things at Celtic Park. And it's also in the hands of Benfica and Jota's representatives. There's no need for panic, none whatsoever. As I say, good work has been done by Celtic and other clubs. Jota just happens to have that little bit of intrigue in the quiet days of summer. He just happens to have the story that is slightly puzzling. Why is it taking so long? What is the exact nature of the delay? And that's all. No panic, just a little intrigue.
Celtic will feel they've probably done all they can to try and entice Jota to come back, based on the fact that they brought him in last summer when he hadn't really had too much regular football elsewhere. They gave him a platform to perform, and also sort of made that move last summer to say, you know what, we have confidence that this move could work out, and that's why we want to put this future fee on it. So they'll feel that they're in a strong position and that Jota enjoyed himself last season and may well want to have another season or a few more seasons like that at Celtic Park.
Without question. They'll be able to say, whether it's to Benfica or to Jota's representatives, listen, we can guarantee him, guarantee Champions League football at the start of next season. If he wants it, we're more than happy to have him, and the supporters feel the same way. But if you're going to keep us hanging on forever, we'll go and get somebody else.
John, did you have another point you wanted to make?
Actually, I was just wondering if you'd heard anything about the boy Davis for Liverpool. There was talk last week we were going to get him on maybe a permanent deal or a loan deal. Because I personally, sure, obviously I'm on here quite a bit, and you know, I'm not a big Julian fan. I don't think this guy's got a future at Celtic Park. Well, I hope that. I don't like the guy. I just don't fancy him as a centre-half. I just want to know if you've heard anything on the pipeline about this guy Davis.
No, there's no update on that other than to say, John, that you know, he went to Liverpool and rejected Celtic the first time around. He gets next to no game time at Liverpool again. Liverpool can offer him Champions League, but he's unlikely to see it given what we've witnessed so far. But if he came to Celtic Park, he'd be guaranteed it.
Yeah, and it looks as if it is an area that Celtic are wanting to strengthen at centre-back. John makes the point about Christopher Julian. John's not a fan of Christopher Julian. Mm-hmm. And the evidence at Celtic appears to be that Ange Postecoglou maybe isn't too much of a fan either, because, yes, he had a long time out injured, but he was fit towards the end of last season and struggled to get on the bench sometimes for Celtic, let alone get game time.
If you compare, for example, Anthony Ralston with Chris Julian, I know they're different positions. The point is in the principle. Ange Postecoglou looked at Anthony Ralston, whom people had forgotten was still at Celtic Park, and thought, there's something there, I can work on this guy. And he turned him into a Scottish international by the end of the season. Christopher Julian, who, you know, to be fair to him, gave himself a very, very serious injury while trying to prevent a goal being scored against Celtic. You know, you can criticise him all you like for the lack of physicality at times, but he did injure himself in the line of duty, if you like, at Celtic, and he's been out a very long time, but he is 100% fit, and Ange Postecoglou doesn't have him anywhere near the place. So I cannot visualise any future for Christopher Julian at Celtic Park.
John, how many players do you think you want to see through the door at Celtic to be fully ready for next season?
Well, hopefully this, the deal is to get a young left back in, will be done, and it'll give tail of it. The guy against Greg Taylor, I hope it'll be a good one. But I would like to see him signing another forward, to a centre forward, because obviously Hughes, Pal Ayeti, you know what I mean, he's not got a future, obviously. And I know we can play Maeda through the middle, but I think he's more purpose when he's out in the wings, so he has. But I would like to see him maybe sign another centre forward. But there was talk, as I read in one of the blogs, one of the young boy for Bayern Munich, I think he's a Ghanaian or Canadian. I can't remember his first name off the top of my head, but there was talk about Celtic trying to get him in loan. I don't know if you've known about that.
There's talk about everybody signing everybody at this time of year. This time of year is rife with speculation, because it's all people have, speculation. Ayeti obviously has no future whatsoever. It again, to use the word intrigue, it'll be intriguing to find out if Celtic can get anybody to take him off their hands. They found somebody eventually for Barkas, remarkably. Ayeti and Bolingoli, I'm not even sure. Is Bolingoli still at Celtic?
Yes, still under contract at Celtic.
So the trick for Mark Lawwell will be to try and find an escape route for players like them, because they've got absolutely no future and they're a drain on the wage bill.
John is saying that he would like to see another striker come in. Now, an interesting piece of news from European football that I saw just before we came on air, and the thing is, I think this is guaranteed to start rumours. People are going to want to see it just because of his name. And no, you shouldn't be signing players just based off of their name, but Jordan Larson has become a free agent today, and I think there's a lot of Celtic fans that will be pointing towards him and saying, you know what, if Celtic need a striker and Jordan Larson's a free agent, then that might be the move they want to see.
Well, if only to see the name Larson on the back of a Celtic jersey once again. However, his father was one thing, the son is another, and it'd be wrong to sign him because of who his dad was. He's had an in and out career, but you know, I don't think that because his second name is Larson that you should be making an exceptional case of him. Ange Postecoglou will, I'm sure, know whether he is worth his interest or not.
John, is that a move you'd like to see at all? I think a couple of seasons ago he scored 15 goals in the Russian top flight. Last season, I don't think he scored any and was subsequently loaned out. So as Hugh says, he has had a sort of on and off career so far. But if the possibility to bring Jordan Larson to Celtic was there, would you like it? I think we've lost John. I think John's away anyway. But
you can't be signing people because he's Henrik's boy. You know, life's simply not like that. You either want him for his own ability or you don't. His father's ability is enshrined in the history books, but that's not the point.
Yeah, well, thank you to John. We've just had a few tweets in about the Jota situation, a couple of them saying that the transfer window isn't open in Portugal yet, which doesn't actually matter as long as the transfer window is open here in Scotland. That's fine. The transfer window actually doesn't need to be open at all, because you can sign players whenever. It's just a case of having to register them during the transfer window. So the deal could go ahead right now if, you know, it was to. There was also another tweet there, Cheryl, saying his loan deal's not finished until June the 30th, so he can't sign until the 1st of July. Well, it's the same situation as Cameron Carter-Vickers. His loan deal would have been ending on the same day, but he's signed. So I like the theories, but at the moment, none of them quite washing. But we don't know. Could be a done deal, could still happen.
Well, as I say, intrigue. It's all we have right now for company.
Yeah, well, let's take a look at Rangers. Of course, they were back in pre-season training today as well. Reports today from the Scottish Sun as well that Rangers are ready to step up their chase of Park striker Antonio Colak. Of course, he was the one that scored twice at Ibrox for Malmo at the start of last season and knocked Rangers out of the Champions League qualifiers. Rangers fans, as I said earlier on, all the posts I'm seeing underneath any tweet Rangers have put out today are just Rangers fans desperate for some movement. Yes, John Souter has come in, and Rangers have extended deals for McGregor and Davis and Arfield and Goldson, which was the big one, of course, but still yet to make a sort of proper impact in this summer window yet.
Interesting window for Rangers, not just with regard to Colak, who is 29 years old.
I think 28, 29 later on this year.
Well, that comes into the decision-making process. But who goes out? You know, eventually Rangers will part with one of their top names, and for big money, because they can't have players see out their contracts and then go for nothing. So somebody's going. It's just a matter of who comes in with what kind of money.
I suppose, I wonder if today is the day that all ramps up. If the players are in the building, you've got Morelos, you've got Kent, you've got Aribo, that are all coming back, they're all training. I think some of them may have a bit of extended time off. Joe Aribo's course has been on international duty, but if they're back in the building, I'm sure Rangers will be wanting to sit down with them, with their representatives, and work out exactly what is going to happen going forward, because I'm not sure there's situations that Rangers will want to drag on to the end of the window where they're still deliberating whether they sell now, whether they could still sign them on another contract, whether they could cash in on them now.
No, Giovanni van Bronckhorst will want the business done early. There's always that complication where if it drags on, then he finds himself a big player down and with no time to spend the money. But the business model has got to be updated. Rangers forever speak about the player selling module, and nothing ever happens. But they've got players running down their contracts who could be fetching big money.
Yeah, because one of the big ones over the weekend was Joe Aribo. There was talk of quite a few English Premier League clubs interested in him. I saw Crystal Palace, I saw Nottingham Forest, I saw Fulham, all named. And that's the model that Rangers have, you know, been saying for years that they're trying to go for. We've seen Celtic do it quite often over the years. Rangers haven't quite managed it in the same way, but this would be a good time if they feel Joe Aribo isn't going to sign on and they've got Premier League interest. That's maybe the opportunity to think, right, okay, we need to take this opportunity and cash in when we can, because I think Rangers brought him in for, was that a tribunal fee, around £300,000.
Oh, I mean, Rangers have done excellent work in that regard. You know, when you think of Kamara coming in for £50,000, Calvin Bassey, £200,000, that's almost laughable when you consider what Rangers could get for him now. But they've got to start this player trading model. Celtic, as you mentioned, have made millions out of it, tens of millions of pounds, and they've played that game very, very well. So Rangers have to catch up.
Well, let's hear from you. 01419511025, and you could be up next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans here with me, Andrew McLean, in the second part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. 01419511025 if you've got anything on your mind, or you can send us a tweet at ClydeSSB. Let's go straight back to the phones, because Frank is a Rangers fan in the city centre. Frank, what are you making of Rangers' transfer business so far?
Well, I'm not really bothered about it just now, because quite simply, Van Bronckhorst will be more interested in re-signing players, and I think it'll be negotiated. He'll need to negotiate with Morelos, Ken. You could go Aribo, Bassey, Roof. These boys have got to be re-signed, and he needs to see what the state of play is. Because if any of these players are saying their time's up or they're going to move, then he's got a decision to make. And I think that maybe take him a week or so to get through all these players if he's not already done it. So I think waiting another week or two, then start taking action.
Well, Hugh, you'd expect that, you know, just because pre-season training has started today, that these discussions will have been going on for a long time. Rangers will have presumably been talking to these players in the hope of getting them to extend their contract. But it would be good for Rangers to have clarity in their futures, because they want to know whether the players are going to be there for the next season. If not, how much money are they going to be able to get in for them that they can then reinvest back into the squad?
Yeah, it is in Rangers' best interest that one or two go, because if they're going to see out the duration of their contract and then go for nothing, that's bad business. If you get good money for them, that's good business. So these are the things that they can't all stay. Otherwise, Rangers' business model begins to look a bit strange. You know, you're unwilling to get big money for players while running the risk of them going at the end of the contract and you get nothing at all. That's not how it works.
Frank, do you think there's a chance at all that all three could stay, or are you resigned to maybe losing one or two of them?
Well, I think we might lose Barisic, and I think we might lose McCrory. But apart from that,
in terms of Morelos and Kent and Aribo, the ones that their contracts are running down, are you quite confident that you think Rangers will be able to tie them down on longer deals?
No, I don't think Aribo's going to be. I'm not too confident about Aribo, because he's, or even for that matter, Bassey. They're the two players that I'm pretty worried about, because I think they could go for big money. And as, say Bassey goes for 20 million or 25 million, he can reinvest with two cracking players that he's maybe got in mind. So one player going is it's all right. I would accept that, because you've got to evolve, you've got to change things.
Yeah, Bassey's not a worry. He's a business chip. If you can get 20 million for him and you got him for £200,000, that's magnificent business. You know, people will be sad to see him go. We'll remember how much he contributed towards the run to Seville for the Europa League final. But there comes a point where it makes financial sense to cash in.
On Aribo then, Frank, if you're not convinced that he is going to sign another deal, is it about Rangers just trying to get the best deal for him to move on this summer rather than keep him for another season and lose him for free?
Well, we live in the real world. In the real world of football, you've got to take the good money and reinvest. Because there's no point in letting Aribo run down his contract for 12 months and in 6 months he could sign a pre-contract with someone else where he's maybe not been in it for the last 6 months. So you've got to be hard. Got to be hard.
Again, out with Giovanni Van Bronckhorst's control. That's where Ross Wilson comes in. And also the chairman, the members of the board who have to weigh up what is best for Rangers in a purely business sense.
Rangers will be hopeful that if they are to sell Aribo this summer, the fact that he's just come off scoring in a European final, that may increase his value. Increase, you know, I'm sure that many clubs were aware of him before. He's been linked with other clubs, but the fact that he played a pivotal role in Rangers getting to the Europa League final, is that a bargaining chip they can use this summer when clubs come in to try and pay money for him?
One of the factors involved in Rangers getting to Seville and the Eintracht Frankfurt final was that it's not as if it goes unnoticed. It is noticed all over the continent, because Rangers were getting results that no one gave them an earthly of getting. And players like Bassey and Aribo came to the fore. So that's what goes with being successful. Your players gain a higher profile, and that in turn could lead to big money being offered for them. But this is not a curse. This is an opportunity to be used to your advantage. As Frank on the line said, if you get huge money for Calvin Bassey, for example, a lot of that can be reinvested.
Frank, I know you say you're pretty relaxed on players coming in at the moment, but if that money was to come in, where would you like to see it reinvested?
I'd like to see Roof stay, add another forward, add another winger up front, because in defence we're well covered. Katic is coming back, we've got John Souter, Hellander, Goldson, keepers are there. I'm quite happy about defence, maybe a midfielder. Two players I would like to see in at least.
They're very strong at the back, Rangers, but you saw what happened when Alfredo Morelos suffered a serious injury. It then led to all manner of things being tried, personnel changes, tactical changes. They could be doing with another striker in the building. There's always been that interest in Ross Stewart at Sunderland. The reports today suggesting that Sunderland are ready to offer him a big money deal to stay there and not to go to Rangers or anywhere else. However, the player may have an ambition to come back to Scotland to play with a club of Rangers size, given that, you know, in a very short space of time, he turned junior football into international football.
Yeah, well, thank you to Frank, 0141 951 1025, if you want to get involved. Let's turn our attentions to Celtic and turn our attentions to Alexandre Bernabe. We know the story. He's close to signing for Celtic in a deal worth around £3.75 million. He's in Glasgow. He flew in on Friday. The deal not quite over the line yet, but it looks as if that will be announced in the next few days. A player we don't know too much about, Hugh, but someone that does know a lot about him is Daniel Edwards on the line. He's a South American football expert. Daniel, how are you?
Hi guys, yeah, I'm doing well.
Good stuff, Daniel. First of all, can you just tell us what type of player Celtic are getting in Alexandre Bernabe?
Yeah, for sure. Bernabe is a guy who's been around for a few years now at Lanús. He came through the academy there. He started off as a winger, a left winger, and because Lanús were pretty stacked in that position, he moved further back, and since he's really broken into the first team, he's been a forward-thinking left-back would be the best description I can give. He's very quick. He can go the whole 90 minutes, works really hard, gets up and down the pitch, and if he's around the area, he can make things happen.
He's only 21. Is he a player in Argentina that's considered to have a big future going forward?
Yeah, definitely. Being from Lanús, which is one of the
I think we'll try and clear up Daniel's line, and I'll get him back in there. Daniel, obviously offering us a bit of insight so far, saying that he's more of an attacking fullback than a defensive one, which seems to be the case for Ange Postecoglou's side. He wants his players to go forward to you, and no surprise that that is the type of player that Postecoglou is going for.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Anthony Ralston, look at Greg Taylor. Before them, Kieran Tierney. You know, the modern day fullback is like that. You know, he's largely unknown to the majority of us here, but he sounds like he can play the way Celtic want to play football. And Ange Postecoglou clearly will have had a good look at him in the modern day fashion. He'll have seen plenty of footage of him, and he fits the Ange bill.
Yeah, that seems to be the way of the modern fullback these days, that a lot of them are wingers that are then converted to fullback for a number of reasons. Maybe, you know, as Daniel's saying, oversaturated in that position in the squad, and maybe struggling to get a game there, and they get moved back. So I suppose when you're young, maybe the defensive side of your game isn't your biggest strength because you're so used to going forward. But when you're only 21, you can get sort of moulded into that.
I remember when Emilio Izaguirre came to Celtic. And was an immediate sensation, and he had those qualities that Daniel was speaking about with regard to Bernabe.
I think we've got Daniel back now. Daniel, sorry, I think your line should be okay. I think you were in the middle of saying just about how he's rated, how his potential is rated in Argentina.
Yeah, sorry about that. I was hearing you guys fine, but we'll try and keep it together. Yeah, he's a guy who's flying a little bit under the radar of fame because coming through at Lanús, which is one of kind of the middle ranked teams in Argentina, not one of the big guys like Boca or River. He probably hasn't got the publicity that he might have received if he was at one of the really kind of the giants. But he's definitely up there, I think, in terms of young left backs in Argentine football. Then there really aren't many better than him, so I think again a really useful player.
Ange Postecoglou really likes his fullbacks to come into the middle of the pitch sometimes. They play inverted quite often, which means he likes them to be very good on the ball. Is that one of his strengths, you would say?
Yeah, definitely. He's a guy who loves to come up the flank, but he can also cut inside. He doesn't have the best right foot. He's predominantly left-footed, but if you look through the few goals he scored for Lanús, a good few have come with with his right as well. So he's no slouch with his weaker foot. I wouldn't expect miracles from it. But definitely, if he's given time to adapt, he's someone who's who's most comfortable playing at a furious pace on the run. So it might take a bit of time if Celtic are going to ask him to slow down and kind of build up play a bit. But definitely all the potential's there. And if you need someone who's going to be an explosive presence on that left, he might do a job.
I think a lot of us in Scotland have seen the footage of his final game where he was sent off for a headbutt on an opponent. It's quite a fiery derby here in Scotland. Do you think that that's the type of occasion he'll thrive in and look forward to?
Yeah, he's had plenty in Argentina. Lanús's big rival is Banfield, another team from the south of Buenos Aires. And if you had to make any kind of criticism of Bartomeu, you know, he's not a violent guy, he's not a reckless guy, but he can lose his cool and sometimes err in judgment, going to tackles which he didn't really have to. Sometimes gets caught out of possession, sometimes his concentration isn't great. But then again, you know, he's 21 and very much, I think, expected from a guy who's only just started out as less than 3 years at professional level. So it's definitely going to be an opportunity for him to grow, iron out some of those kind of weaker links in his game, and hopefully he can do that.
It's always hard to tell how a player is going to do going from one country to another. Not often players come directly from South America to Scotland, but do you feel that he'll be able to adapt quickly to Scottish football and that he can well be a starter right from the off for Celtic?
Yeah, I hope so. I think there are certain similarities between Argentine football and Scottish football. I know both of them are quite physical, very passionate. I don't think he'll be fazed at all by the heavy stuff that goes in when he's first starting out. Obviously, there will be a time where he'll need to adapt and get used to the language, get used to the different culture. But I think once he can do that, on the pitch, he shouldn't have any problems.
Well, thank you very much, Daniel. That was some really good insight there from Daniel on Alexandro Bernabe, who, of course, we're expecting to join Celtic this week ahead of their training camp in Austria. Hugh, Daniel there saying that, you know, he's a player full of potential. Yes, some areas in his game he can improve on, but he's only 21, and Daniel expecting him to do well at Celtic.
Well, the temperamental side of it he'll need to sort out, and with Ange Postecoglou's help, that's what will happen, because you know, you can't dive in, as Daniel put it, and you can't be temperamentally suspect to the extent that you're headbutting opponents and getting red cards. That's of no use to Celtic. But they're getting someone, or expected to get someone, at a fee that doesn't break the bank. And you're buying into his potential. And again, that Celtic player trading model. You're getting someone for £2 or £3 million that one day down the line you hope might go for 7 or 8 times that amount of money. So he fits the bill in that regard. It's another one that has to be got over the line, though.
Well, thank you again to Daniel. 01419511025. If you've got anything on your mind now, give us a call.
1419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans here with me, Andrew McLean, in the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. 01419511025. If there's anything you want to chat to us about, or you can send us a tweet at Clyde SSB. One of my favourite pastimes in the office, Hugh, is when someone is having to show you something to do with technology.
Yes.
And I was sat across the desk earlier on, and one of our colleagues was having to show you how to create a login, yes, for one of the new work systems. Can you just tell everyone what the email you were sent by HR when you'd finished the login section of it said?
They congratulated me on joining the company as a freelance reporter and wished me a long and happy career.
He's got potential, this boy. He's got potential.
There's only me and Paul McCartney left.
Do you think you could have done that stint the other night on the Glastonbury stage?
Well,
what would Hugh Keevans be opening with?
2.5 hours, no comfort break, and getting cold at that time of night, no plastic cup with a little livener in it. No, I don't think I could have gone 2.5 hours. But
I don't know.
He's wonderful.
I think you might. I think you would have drawn as big a crowd, though.
Well, I'm waiting for Paul just to... I mean, he's used Bruce Springsteen, who's 70. So he might as well have a 72-year-old the next time he's out and about.
And you regularly do six-hour Sundays as well on Super Scoreboard. We've got plenty of them to come this summer as well. 0141 951 1025 if you want to get in touch. Let's take a look elsewhere around the Premiership, shall we? Let's go to St Mirren. They've completed a couple of signings over the weekend. Today they confirmed a deal for former Australia youth international Keanu Backus. He'll join on a two-year deal. The one that interested me, though, over the weekend, though, sealed a deal for Declan Gallagher, yeah, following his release from Aberdeen. Aberdeen just happy to terminate his contract. Clearly not in Jim Goodwin's plans. Hasn't really been able to make much of an impact since moving from Motherwell last summer and joining up with old boss Stephen Robinson again.
I think it's a great signing for St Mirren. I think it's also another indication of Jim Goodwin being his own man at Pittodrie. He came in, people were sceptical about him getting the job in the first place, but he is addressing that scepticism by going his own way. To an instant decision on Andrew Considine, instant decision on Declan Gallagher, not afraid to tread on toes. It now remains to be seen whether he's making the right calls, Jim Goodwin, but at least he's making calls. I do think that Declan Gallagher has an awful lot to offer, and it will be a terrific signing for Stephen Robinson.
Yeah, because Aberdeen is an interesting one, because as you say, Jim Goodwin has gone in, he's stamped his authority, but he's really been backed by the club as well, because I think they signed Bojan Mijevski, who is a North Macedonian international striker, but the reported fee is about £500,000. They made another couple of signings, and you know, the total spend is creeping up towards that £1 million mark, which you don't often see outside of Celtic and Rangers.
Well, again, proper trading model. Calvin Ramsey has brought in the money, and the money has been reinvested. That's how it's supposed to work. Celtic will find out day one of the new season what the new signings are like, because Aberdeen will be at Celtic Park on a day of high excitement and tension at Celtic Park. The first day is always like that, the defence of the title. So we'll find out what the Aberdeen guys are made of. But Aberdeen had to be radical in their thinking, because the decision to bring in Stephen Glass as manager was a failure. The decision to bring in Jim Goodwin didn't meet with universal approval. They finished 10th in the league. For Aberdeen, that's woeful. And now Jim has gone about his transfer business. The release of Declan Gallagher may or may not prove to be a mistake, but he's making the big calls, Jim Goodwin, and we'll find out at Celtic Park on day one how it looks.
Yeah, it wasn't too long ago Declan Gallagher was pretty much a mainstay in the Scotland side for a few camps. We all remember the game in Serbia where he had Aleksandar Mitrovic in his back pocket. For some reason, at Aberdeen, it just didn't work out for him whatsoever. And he'll hope that this can give him a new lease of life. He's with a manager that he's found success with before, but he is in need of trying to get his career back on track.
Well, as I say, St Mirren have got a great deal out of it. Jim Goodwin, the fascination will be... I mean, you can add Scott Brown to that list. The minute that Jim Goodwin came into Pittodrie, Scott Brown's card was marked, and he's now the manager of Fleetwood Town. So Jim Goodwin is doing it his way, and we'll find out very quickly, because there can be no more daunting a test on day one than to face the defending champions inside their own ground with a full house.
Yeah, as always, that top six battle looks as if it's going to be really interesting, because Aberdeen and Hibs will be going into it with a point to prove. St Mirren, I think, have signed six or seven players already. We hear every season coming out of St Mirren, I know that Tony Fitzpatrick has now left the club, but he was always keen to say that he felt they should have been a top six club. And obviously the clubs that finished in the top six last season, European football, they'll be hoping that they can juggle the Premiership with their European qualifiers at the start of the season.
The other one that intrigues me is Lee Johnson at Hibs, bringing in Aidan McGeady at the age of 36. But clearly a firm believer in Aidan still having an awful lot to offer. So it's a move that suits Aidan McGeady down to the ground. And we'll see how he and the others brought in by Lee Johnson will do, because again, for Hibs not to be in the top six is just not acceptable.
Yeah, well, let's hear a bit from Aidan McGeady speaking to Sky Sports over the weekend. He thinks Hibs are a perfect fit for him. He also says he's not ready to wind down his career despite being 36.
There's been talk of me coming here in the past. Obviously, with Lee getting the job, I played under him before at Sunderland. Done well for him. We worked well together, so it's just the perfect fit, really. The size of the club, obviously, I think I can definitely add something to the squad, and obviously the manager thinks so too. So for me, it was the ideal fit, really. I've always had in the back of my mind that I would try and come back to Scotland one day, kind of towards the end of my career. And this is by no means the end of my career, and I'm winding down. But I've just turned 36, so I was looking to come back up to Scotland at some point. And I mean, outside Celtic and Rangers, I mean, I don't think there's any bigger club, really. And like I said, all the things that have kind of tied in with the manager and the club and being close to Glasgow, etc., where obviously I'm from, it's the perfect opportunity for me.
Yeah, he was quick to clarify there that, you know, this isn't the end of my career. I'm not coming here to wind down. But I'm sure a lot of people will be interested to see exactly how he does at 36, because it's been a long, long time since we've seen him in Scotland. I'm sure we've all seen clips of him. He's had a successful time down at Sunderland. It'll be interesting to see how he fits into that Hibs team and what he can offer him.
Been 12 years out of Scotland now, Aidan McGeady. He was a wonderful player for Celtic. He went to Russia. Bold move. He did 3 years in Moscow. You know, it's not easy. Players find it difficult to go abroad. But in Russia, you might find it extra difficult. But he lasted his 3 years, did well. You know, he's been troubled by injury when he was at Everton. But at Sunderland, stalwart for them under Lee Johnson. So, very good. I like his style. I like his style to say at 36, this is not the end of my career. I'm not winding down. So that shows a bit of mental strength.
Yeah, Lee Johnson knows more than most what he can offer, and what Hibs really need is a bit of inspiration in that final third. We saw that last season, that they really did struggle with that. They struggled all over the park, in fairness. They had the Sean Maloney saga where he came in, only lasted 4 months. They need, first of all, stability, but they also need players in the park that are going to do essentially the opposite of what the players did last season.
Well, you could summarise last season by saying, when Martin Boyle was there, it was looking good. And when Martin Boyle left, it wasn't good. So, you know, they could do with someone in the goal-scoring department. Aidan will create goals, he will score some, but they need an out-and-out goal-scorer.
I was having a look at all the pre-season training camps and where the squads are flying off to. I think Hibs are going away to Portugal, Hearts are in Spain at the moment, Ross County are in Italy, Celtic have just released their pre-season schedule, they're away to Austria, they're playing 3 games over there. I think Rangers are going to Portugal as well. And St Mirren, in their statement today, when they said that they'd signed Keanu Backus, saying that they hope he can join up with them in their pre-season training camp in Belfast. I'm not sure if you were a player that you'd be too delighted about all the other players in the league going off somewhere sunny and you're heading to Belfast for a week for your pre-season training camp.
Well, I've just had a weekend in Troon with my nippers, and let me tell you, many a good tune played in Troon. So you can put Belfast down as being something to do with Stephen Robinson using his contacts in the country of his birth. You know, just because you're staying at home, it doesn't mean to say that it's a bad thing.
Yeah, it'll be interesting, certainly now with pretty much every single Premiership team back in training. That's when we feel it'll start to ramp up now. The transfers will really start to kick in. Everyone will be looking at those Premier Sports group stages, which are kicking off in a couple of weeks. European qualifiers. It's going to be an exciting time for Scottish football.
And then VAR's coming along in November, and one will speak to anybody else.
No, they won't. That is going to be quite the thing, quite the addition for Scottish football. And I'm sure we might hear a bit about that on the show throughout the coming season. But thank you very much for getting involved tonight, whether it was just listening in at home, whether you tweeted in, whether you phoned in. We appreciate it. Thank you to Hugh Keevans in the studio as well. Of course, we'll be bringing you the latest throughout the summer on the transfers, on the pre-season friendlies and everything else that's happening. So make sure to stick with us. I'll be back tomorrow night. Gordon DL will be alongside me. And up next, it's Callum Gallagher.